Hey, what's going on, everybody? Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. Check them out, 4191A Manchester Avenue, in the heart of the Grove, right between the Ready Room and the Demo. This week, Friday, they got a brand new all-day listening party going on. Pick up new records from the Arcs, which is the Black Keys side project. Painted Palms, reissues of Soul Coughing and Beta Band, and all sorts of other stuff coming out Friday. Big show coming up Saturday in the in-store performance from Fog Lights and Emily Wallace, 2 to 4. Beer from Four Hands Brewery, so come check them out. It's going to be a good time. Follow them online, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
We're recording.
Oh, we're on tape.
Hey, y'all!
This is Les Gruff and the Billy Goat.
Welcome.
Coming to you on Rock Paper Podcast.
Cheers.
We'll be right back.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 109. Whoa. Hanging out in the basement.
You met a lot of people then, huh?
Oh man, I've been hustling. I've been trying to do my part. So
are you doing this weekly?
I put out three this week.
So, oh shit! Yeah.
There you go. It started weekly.
Are we doing FCC? Can we not say that?
You can say whatever you want.
Okay.
God damn it!
Yeah. These are the guys of Les Gruff and the Billy Goat. Thanks for coming hang out, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Of course.
I started this show doing it weekly with my buddy Chris. We started May of 2014, and you know, we were doing pretty good with just that, and then it's like by May 15 he decided to step down and I carried on my own, and but since it was only my schedule and whoever the guest was, it opened up the availability to record a lot more. So I've been just cranking them out. Sometimes two or three a week. And
awesome.
Yeah, excellent. It's been a lot of fun. So, I'm excited to meet you guys, and this was a exciting opportunity. You guys got a couple of big things coming up, and I figured it'd be a good time to sit down and talk.
Absolutely, sure.
But this has been happening a lot more with doing the show as much as I have, and through Facebook and whatnot, and just the power of networking is like I've been getting more and more people contacting me now, like about the show, and it's just kind of spiderwebbed out to where I've been meeting all sorts of new people. I kind of mentioned off mic there about Cree Ryder. I met him. I've been seeing his name around, and then finally I get to sit down and talk to him, was on the show, and get to meet him, and that's been happening a lot more, just like tonight, so...
Cree's a very good buddy. Tony watches the cats when Cree's out of town.
They're adorable.
Yeah? Tony reached out to help contact me, and actually, I guess we should probably knock out our introductions before we get too far.
We got time now, then.
Yeah, we just got notice that we're playing third tonight, so we've got a little bit of time. Sitting podcast right, a little bit.
The whole show will be bonus time.
Yeah, that's right. That's the title of this podcast, Bonus Time with Les Gruff and the Billy Goat.
So you guys want to go around the room and...
Sure, yeah. I'll kick it off. My name's Scotty Iman. I play drums for Les Gruff and the Billy Goat and a few other bands around St. Louis, but just moved back to St. Louis in October and met up with Billy via Craigslist, the wonderful tool that it is, and I'm happy to say this is like my first St. Louis band, and it's just been a blast so far. These guys are great, and keep listening to the podcast for all the cool things that we have coming up.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the band and I'm super excited about it, which means you should be like 20 gajillion times more.
The ad that we posted on Craigslist was kind of creepy. I'm surprised.
We met at a well-lit bar. That's why we met at the Venice Cafe. Yeah. This guy's a creep. At least there's something on the wall I can pull off and use as a weapon.
All right. Speaking of creeps. I play the fiddle.
Wait, what's your name again?
Sean Cameron.
There you go.
I'm a corn-fed Iowa boy. Moved up here, down here, a couple years ago, I suppose. And where'd I run into you guys? Met you guys at Heavy Anchor.
Yeah, didn't Dave see you there?
Dave and I stopped in for a beer after practice, dropping Dave off after he crashed his Subaru.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And, heard you in the other room, and it was like, oh, this has got to happen. We're stealing this guy.
And I'm still for hire. So.
There you go.
Someone else is trying to steal him right now.
Have this conversation in your own band. We're trying to steal Sean the fiddle player. Give you that how-to.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
It's not hard.
Well, in his absence, I'd like to introduce Dave. He asked me to read a statement. Dave said, "Yo, Since I can't be there tonight, I want you to read this funny prepared statement in total deadpan.
Did he want you?
I don't know
read
if you're supposed to.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's okay. I think it does make it better though.
Guys, I'm sorry I can't be there tonight. I've departed for Thailand atop my personal pterodactyl, Alexander. While there, I will be participating in a clandestine martial arts tournament, the location of which will only be revealed to me once I complete a series of puzzles. I hope to win the tournament by relying on my wit, quickness, and base-driven shrunken fireballs. I'm not sure which ones he's talking about. That's not part of the statement. That was off record. If anything should happen to me while fighting, please take good care of Alexander. Love, David.
Good luck, Dave.
Yeah, right. We miss
good
you.
Good luck, Dave.
Man, what did Dave became Ryu all of a sudden?
He's going to join
exactly.
Street Fighter.
Yeah. I brought Blanca to rehearsal once, and he just tore up the base. We're not letting that happen again.
I had shrunken fireballs once. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Oh,
used
man.
To be a shot of penicillin here, yeah. Damn near anything.
don't work.
So that's listening yeah. audience. That's,
that's
bass player Dave.
Dave plays bass. Yeah. My name is Billy. I am the Billy Goat. I was born and raised in St. Louis, and so here we are, you know?
Yeah. I am Tony. I play guitar and keys, and I'm from Litchfield, Illinois, which was currently voted one of the top 10 most redneck towns of Illinois.
Ooh. All right. Ooh, congrats.
I have to say,
yeah.
I can't disagree.
Okay, anyway.
Anyways, I've
we get a really good audience in Litchfield.
No,
we
do. That's the truth. If anyone in Litchfield's listening,
I mean,
I sure do heart you guys.
That like party was awesome.
That top 10 list will be our next tour schedule.
That's how we're booking the next tour.
Anyways, I met Billy 3 years ago, and here we are.
Yeah.
A lot of things happened, I guess.
A lot of things. I'm Dylan Duke. I play mandolin. I'm the sweet Georgia peach of the band. And originally from Leesburg, Georgia, home of Luke Bryan, Buster Posey, and Philip Phillips.
That's quite a roster.
Yeah,
yeah, man.
For a town of 3,000, that's
pretty good.
Yeah, impressive. You have a 1 in 1,000 shot of being a nationally recognized household name. I'm hoping to add my name to that. To that.
Well,
that would
be even greater
sign.
Than 1 in 3,000.
Yeah,
right?
1.3
or 1 in 1,000.
I'm hoping to bring down that percentage or up. Yeah, that's
is that 0.1%?
Something like that.
Yeah. In marketing, that would be like a click through rate.
I've been making beautiful music with Billy for a few years now. We go back to first meeting in college at St. Louis University, where we lived on the same floor of good old Reiner dormitory, Reiner Hall, and. We had the same intro to Spanish class first semester, freshman
Yo toco
year.
La guitarra.
Yes, that's where we made the connection. We both yo toca la guitarra.
And you both no toco.
Wow. Yeah.
And
wow.
And so we went back to the dorm room and played some guitars, and we've been trying to play guitars and music ever since.
Well, as I recall, that year, my dad would not let me bring my guitar to school, and so when I found out that you play the guitar, I was like, oh, this guy lives on my floor and he plays guitar, I can play his.
There you go.
So yeah, Billy. So Billy just invited himself over and
played the underwear song. Right?
Yeah, played the underwear song for me. It's a classic.
Wait, how's that go?
That's not a euphemism.
It's just an actual song.
I might have been wearing my underwear.
Maybe.
I didn't wear underwear a whole lot in those days, though, because I didn't do a lot of laundry.
Through that time in college.
Right. There's probably free ball in it.
Yeah.
Free ball.
I know.
I'm telling you, it's all bonus on this podcast. Right. You're getting details that none other has. This didn't make the liner notes.
These are the liner notes, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't even make. We're past that. We're behind the music. Yeah. You know.
That's pretty crazy, though. You guys are from, like, all over the place and come together in St. Louis here.
Yeah, it just happened that way, huh?
Yeah.
It's where the rivers flow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There you go.
There's a couple of rivers that meet up here.
Needs to be on a t-shirt.
I think that's why it's a city.
Yeah, probably. Probably all that trading that happened.
Nobody would have moved here had there not been two rivers. If there was just the one, I don't know if anybody would have ever, you know, I mean,
there's
plenty of cities along the Mississippi.
All right.
Yep.
That are very small cities.
Oh, sure. Yeah. How often do you stop in Louisiana, Missouri?
Right.
You know, it's on
I never do.
Yeah.
I've never, in fact, not even once.
I make it a point to drive through.
Oh, there you go. Because you care. Basic air is right there.
I don't
there.
Care if I have to pee or not.
Yeah.
I don't stop.
I think they're pretty sure there's a Casey's. Yeah, why not stop? Yeah.
I tell you, Matt, Casey's pizza.
There you go. So good. I grew up in a small little town outside of Columbia, Missouri, and the only thing we had was a Casey's. Until high school, we got a Subway. But let me tell you, that Casey's pizza is delicious. Every time we play in Litchfield, I always stop at that Casey's, like right on the main drag, grab some greasy, nasty cheese pizza.
I gotta try this stuff. I haven't heard y'all talking about it.
Well, you have to get the taco pizza at some point.
Mm-hmm. I'm down.
Yeah, it's anything with crushed Doritos on top of it is delicious. Like the mac and cheese at Soha here in lovely St. Louis.
What's the difference between Casey's pizza and the one that it's like the sort of like it like almost a lot of every convenience store you'll see has got like the Italian guy tossing a pizza.
Yeah. Love.
The difference.
Love goes into
Casey's pizza actually tastes good, and it's not just gas station pizza.
I don't know. I mean, I guess. Our alternative was a Pizza Hut wagon that came once a week on Saturdays. So
there was a wagon?
There was a wagon. Hut? Seriously, this dually.
Like
this red
drawn?
No, like this big red dually would pull in a really long, and it was a mobile kitchen that Pizza Hut had, and it would go between us and like not Marceline. It'd stop in Keatsville, probably Brunswick, maybe down to Sedalia. I'm not sure. But yeah, once a week we got us some fancy. And it was awful. I mean, compared to, like, I was born here in St. Louis. My mom makes pizza. She gets Provel and cuts it in squares. So all of that, I mean, nothing tastes as good as what you're going to get on the hill or around here. You know, it's a local thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's, like, Casey's is, like, good gas station pizza. I mean, it's not like...
Okay.
I mean, you're not going to put it up there with, you know, some of the greats. But for gas station pizza... You know, it's pretty damn good.
Yeah. All right. So. You can put worse shit in your mouth.
Yeah, all right.
Right. Lord knows I have.
Lord knows I have. It's called Domino's. I don't care how many free gift certificates I get at work. Shit.
No, come on, man. Domino's really stepped up their game.
What, with the online tracker thing? So stoners can see when to leave the house?
There was a time, that I would have agreed with you, but these days,
but now?
If I'm going with cheap, like... You know, regular chain pizza, I'm probably calling Domino's.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
They're like, that scientist come in and redesign their pizza.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if they were scientists. They might have been chefs, but...
If they believe in science, I believe in them.
We got their fancy Bunsen burners cooking pizzas with.
We got scientists. They're genetically engineered. They grow it.
They took the best scientists from the hill to redesign the perfect pizza for middle America. You know, you don't want to get that crust there too thin, and you don't want to put too much sauce on. Gotta be just right.
Remember those commercials they did for a while, like where they like had people like you know, eating pizza, and then, like, they kick down the wall, and, like, they're in the middle of the farm or something like that. Like, you know, something like that. It was just, like, I don't know, they were really weird commercials for a while.
Sounds like a Kool-Aid ripoff.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was just, like, the fact that they were, like, you know, wanted to say they were, you know, using, you know.
Real dairy.
Tomatoes grown in, farm, you know, in all
that.
I
want Prevail cheese. That comes from a factory. I don't care.
Right.
Yeah. Fresh from the cow.
The darkest story I heard about Domino's, though, do you remember, like, in the early mid-90s, there was a character that they called the Noid?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah!
That looked like their Domino emblem.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Well, like, it was just, like, a goofy character. Well, like somebody was really, really, really upset about it because they thought it was making fun of paranoid schizophrenics.
Oh.
And so, like, this guy... Like, went in and, like shot up a pizza place. And so after that, Domino's, like, they cut the Noid.
Really?
They were like, this was not the intention. Like, you know, whatever. Wow. So they got rid of the Noid. But the Noid was a cool character. I remember I had, like, a little figurine of him and stuff.
Like, bendable?
Yeah.
I remember he was on Family Guy, and, like, Brian snapped his neck or something. He was just, like, popped out of a pizza box and was being super annoying. Wow, that's crazy. Really, paranoid schizophrenics get mad at pizza. Mm. Yeah. Somebody in the marketing department got fired for that.
They don't even need an excuse to be mad at people, so if you give them one.
Oh, well, yeah.
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 These guys, figure while we're here, might as well promote it. But these guys got a show coming up September 26th. At Off Broadway, $10, and with Cara Louise Band, mm-hmm. Marie and the Americans, and I'm probably gonna mess this up, but how do you say
it? Isa Rowell.
Oh, all right, yeah, mm-hmm. I was way off.
Yeah,
it's three words in one.
Yeah,
that's actually Ben Sturtevant, who is a very close friend, and actually wrote. One of the songs that's coming out on our record, he's the former drummer in our band, and recorded and mixed this record that's about to come out.
Oh, nice.
It's his project. He's one of the best songwriters I've ever met in my life, and proud to call him a friend.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
And I read on the event that Andrew Frank will be hosting, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Very funny man.
Yeah, Andrew's a good friend. He's been on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Great.
We sat at his basement and recorded an episode.
He has a basement, too.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Like that.
And
we're going to have to call Andrew and say, hey, we heard you got a basement.
Yeah.
You want a basement swap?
Right. but Andrew's, I just saw Andrew, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks ago. They did a show at America's Tavern.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
so they went up there and watched them, and they did like a, it was a, they called it Comedy Throwdown. They did like two teams battled it out and kind of thing. It was pretty fun. It was a good night.
It's a story about Andrew is that I met Billy at Venice Open Mic that's every Monday, and I recently kind of stopped going as much just because of life, and I just happened to go up there, and I walk in and Andrew Frank's up there. I didn't have any idea who he was, but I was laughing, and I've seen a lot of comics there, you know, and stuff like that, and you normally get a chuckle, like, I see what you're trying to do, you know, a little work, but no, he was nailing it.
Yeah.
And I was laughing, and I text Billy. I was like, what do you think about having a comedian host a CD release show?
Yeah.
And he's like, sure. So just off of that 15-minute set, I was like, get that guy.
Right.
And then I started having doubts. I was like, maybe that was like his only good stuff. So I had to go back, and I went back again. I was like, okay. Yeah, I heard some different stuff. I was like, yeah, okay, that's good. I have a little more faith. And then he got a headlining gig at the Funny Bone, mm-hmm. and invited us out there. And, you know, we just laughed the whole freaking time.
Yeah.
I was like, man. We got lucky.
Sure.
I'm glad I followed my gut that time. I regretted following my gut many times, but
he's a guy. I mean, I'm big, just as much as music. I'm into comedy as well. Like I try to keep this show as close as 50-50 as I can. I mean, it's you know, some are more than others, but yeah, like but I've been following, you know, guys like Andrew for the last couple of years, so it's fun to watch as the success, you know, from being a host and getting headline weekends. So it's you know, that's really something cool.
Do you know Kenny Kynes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Kenny's a good friend too.
Good deal. Yeah, I worked with Kenny at the Regional Arts Commission for probably, it was close to a year before he took off to work out at UMSL or something. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, he's a very funny man too.
Yeah. I watched. I got to watch Kenny open for Hannibal Buress at the pageant.
Okay. Oh, he was one of those guys? Yeah. I was at that show. Yeah. In the suits, they impulse bought the prom tuxes. Oh, man.
Yeah, Kenny told me that, like, you know, that he you know, he knew he was going to be opening for Hannibal, and he gets, like, a text, like, an hour before the show or something, like, hey, what size are you? Come down, get down here to this, because they were, Hannibal, I guess, went to lunch, and then they walked past Savvy Formal.
Yeah, just right down the street.
Yeah, so he's like, they were like, oh, this would be hilarious. Let's get suits for the night.
And yeah.
So they all looked like they were going to prom. Oh, like, so.
Like the worst pastel colors, too. Yeah. It was so... So right. But the Hannibal, yeah, he had a joke about it later that night. It was like, best impulse buy I ever had. You know, he does that awesome Hannibal laugh. Yeah. That was a great show. Man, so that was the first guy at that show?
Yeah.
They were all just funny. So incredibly funny.
I think the middle act, like Richard, I think it was Richard Reese, maybe.
Wasn't that a guy that was touring with them? I think he had one on the road. And they had that DJ, too.
Right. Yeah, but I think, Kenny was the first act.
He's funny.
And then I think if I'm not mistaken, I believe he opened up at least one of the nights with Chappelle too when he was in town.
He did I recall. That's crazy. Well, I'm glad that you know those guys.
Yeah, they've all been on the show, so if you don't know these guys, go check them out. Go back and they're all rockpaperpodcast.com and iTunes. But yeah, I've tried to do my best to support my local comedians as well, and like I said, they're all buddies of mine. So it's been fun to watch them all, you know, get success in various ways, and writing and stuff too. They all some of the guys have been working with that. I guess y'all up late and stuff. A couple, you know, various things like that. So it's, you know, between stand up and writing and everything else, there's a lot of opportunities coming for them.
Great, well, that's great.
Incidentally, our friend that you hear walking around upstairs is actually Tony's girlfriend. It feels weird to call her girlfriend, given they live together. given that they live together, and you know, it seems like they've been together for as long as I can remember. Even though I knew Tony well before they met, she was on STL Up Late.
Oh, yeah.
Had an awesome performance. She performed solo as Sinus O Pro, and in like 47 other bands. Tony probably knows the name of all of them, given their situation.
Right.
That shrug gives me
doubt. Pat Sajak Assassins and
Woe Thunder.
Yeah. Okay.
At this point,
that's two.
Previously with Humdrum and. Stella Mora.
We could be here all night.
Oh, man. We
That's what the podcast
She's versatile.
Too.
Yeah. Plays a little bit of everything.
That is one thing. More and more I've been out and about in the scene and meeting people. I've learned there's a lot of people in various projects all over town. So it's a lot. It's fun to put all the pieces together, you know, how everybody's networked out.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's fun though, because like it gives me a lot more opportunity to see a lot of my good friends, so it's fun
totally.
Yeah.
To
Ditto for us, too.
Yeah.
It's fun to show up. Oh, you're playing with so-and-so now. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. You know, catch up for a minute at the show. Yeah.
Shit, Scotty's now, like, legally required to be in every new band that starts in St. Louis.
We've been back a year yet. I'm working on it slowly but surely.
I think that there's not much legislation.
Yeah, some of them aren't so good. But a lot of them, all the bands that I stick with are fantastic, including this one, September 26th, come out to our show. that's, you know, you can really spot the talent in this town.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bullshit out there, but it's when somebody really has their shit together and their tune's well written, like, you can just see the cream rise, you know. Mm-hmm. And really, if you play your cards right, you get to jump in with some cool cats.
Yeah.
Like these guys.
I've been kind of talking about a couple times about how, like, I feel like St. Louis is sort of it's always been, a great town for music for a long time.
Yeah.
But I feel like right now we're at a point where it's just, like, bubbling under right now. We're, like,
there's lulling, waiting to
pop
out, I think.
Yeah, there's a ton of great talent here. Everybody's, and people are starting to make some serious noise and get some big exposure. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we're far off from being, like, an Austin or a Nashville or something like that, more of a more recognized, music town.
Yeah. Here's what I think. Here's where I think the difference is. All right.
He just leaned back, ladies and gentlemen. Shit's about to get
weird.
Here's the thing. and I love St. Louis, born and raised, and I never left. You know, I went to college here and all that stuff. I think the biggest difference currently for us, like, as musicians, and I think that a lot of musicians around this town would agree, is that we are a hotbed for talent. But we are not an industry town.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Nashville and Austin have a lot of established industry for, like, there's an infrastructure into which a good band can fit. Currently in St. Louis, I don't know that infrastructure exists. I don't think it can't exist. I think we might be 10 or 15 years away, though, from a really solid industry infrastructure. Like, that doesn't mean that there's not a shitload of talent here,
right,
because there is. There's absolutely some of the best songwriters I know are in this town. Shit.
Well, all the
some of the best songwriters I know are in my own fucking band.
Yeah.
These two guys right next to me are both great songwriters in their own right, and so absolutely I would not choose to live anywhere else, and I wouldn't choose to play music anywhere else. I've written songs which say as much. I've been to Nashville. I've played shows there, and it's they have great music there, and they have really, really a big difference. They have, like, amazing players down there, but everyone is just trying to get their name out, and, like, there's just so much self-promotional bullshit in Nashville. All
right.
And what I found when I was there, I played a show one night on what's called New Faces Night at a relatively famous record store called Grimey's. They have a venue called The Basement, and it's the basement of Grimey's. And New Faces Night is on a Tuesday. On New Faces Night, they have just tons of bands come in and play. So it was, like, six or seven bands on the bill this night. And I was coming from St. Louis, and I was on the bill, and I get down there, and they're like, "Oh, we didn't have you listed for a time slot." They were like, "All right, you can play last." And I was like, "All right, that's kind of weird, because there's a lot of full bands going on." We had, so all these bands bring all of their friends and family, because their goal is to get noticed at Grimey's so that they can get bigger gigs, so that they can get signed to a record deal, so that they can be Taylor Swift, you know? So there's all these pop country bands get up and play. And as the night wore on, fewer and fewer people were there because all these people brought 30 or 40 people with them. Yep. And so the place was packed, and by the time that I got up to play last, there were about four people left in the bar. Mm-hmm. You know, because I didn't bring an audience.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know anybody there. Yeah. And so I was kind of depending on being an opener at this show. And it really turned me off to Nashville. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of like what we have in St. Louis. It's like a very, very talented town where you can be talented and not have to worry about the industry bullshit that they have elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Just create and create.
Yeah.
I don't know. You were in Austin for a long enough time to talk a little bit about what industry does to a music scene. What does it look like?
Well, it's just it kind of ruins your town because, like Billy said, everyone's out there, and it's great for an artist to have, you know, that itch for self promotion because, you know, as a musician, we're always, oh yeah, I mastered my craft, and then you just kind of get back in your little shell and you have to realize at some point you go, hey, listen to my record, listen to the content I'm putting out, watch my videos, all this type of shit. But when every single person, it's not exaggeration, the person, you know, serving you your coffee at Starbucks or whatever is in 20 bands and they'll try and slip you, you know, right? You kind of look like, I used to get Zach Galifianakis all the time. You look like maybe you're famous here. Record or something, you know. And it was, yeah, it just... Those kind of like it's great to have like festivals and stuff too, but that mentality comes in where it's like, okay, how can we cash in? Really kind of takes over the city, and they just try and leech as much money out of anyone that they can. Now it's people coming to the shows, sure, but they really start to steal away from the artists too. Austin's big problem right now is all these goddamn Californians. No, it's not that so much, but they're just expanding at a much greater rate than they can adapt to. So all these musicians are getting pushed out, maybe out towards Spicewood West, further south. I was down in San Marcos for a long time. I know a lot of my friends that are moving further out of the city just because they can't afford rent anymore.
You would imagine,
you know?
It's so oversaturated at this point. You know, people, musicians go to Austin, go to Nashville, both of them, to make their dreams happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you don't really think you're staying in St. Louis and having your dreams.
Right.
Yeah, but you got to get out too.
Yeah, and you know what's great about this town is like it's good for talent and like in order to be noticed, you have to work your ass off to get good.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And then that gets shown too.
And then
quicker.
You can move along and do little regional tours and stuff like that A lot of bands out there in this town that are making it are doing just that, and yeah. I think that's what I like about St. Louis is that we don't have to worry about, you know, who's going to get the next record deal and all that stuff.
Nope.
So I don't. I mean, like, you know, would it be a bummer if we turned into Austin? No,
yeah.
but like, would it necessarily like amp up the talent pool here? I don't think so.
One of the things I saw when I was out on the road a lot and made me think about moving back to Missouri was I was in Portland, outside Portland, playing a festival. I was there for 3 days, and we were camping on site, so had a lot of downtime, shit ton of downtime. Meeting folks, you know, we played our set in the afternoon. Great, we don't have to play till later tonight, whatever, just meeting everyone you possibly can. And I kept seeing these horn players, and they had blues and Cardinals stickers on their cases. And I'm like, we're way too fucking far west. Like, half the people I knew beforehand were from California or Texas or, you know, maybe the up in Seattle or something like that we had met on tour before. But to see, like, people from St. Louis so much, and they're like, yeah, talk to those guys later on. They said, yeah, man, we fly out all the time. We're just session horn players. We're backing up so-and-so and this and that. And it's, you know, because St. Louis isn't an industry town, you can really get into that concept of being a bigger fish in a smaller pond. It goes for individual musicians and bands as well. You really want to get seen, man, if you can take this town by storm in a place where there aren't, like we were talking about earlier, 50 booking companies or whatever that are trying to wade through all this shit. If you can really show what you're made of and kind of highlight your sound in your town, you're more likely to get picked up.
Yeah.
You know, Bloodshot seeing this next new band out of the small St. Louis. Who the fuck's touring out of St. Louis now, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. Name the groups out of Austin. Well, shit, you can go down the list. Nashville's the same way, too. Plus, we want to go. I did a show in Nashville a couple months ago on a Sunday. It was a 5-hour drive, 5-hour back. You know, easy to do. We can go visit if we want, but, you know. Yeah. It's I love it just for its perfect away location. What are we from Chicago?
Like about the same.
Five, six, not far at all. Most. You know, right. No, it's great.
I think I made it 4.5 one time.
Yeah, there you go.
I did that just last Friday
with that radar scanner going.
Well, and, you know, and talking about awesome bands, and we were talking about these guys before we got on mic, but Cree Rider Family Band. Is out there. They just put out a new record. It's fucking awesome.
Oh yeah.
By the way,
great record.
Festival.
Cree, if you're hearing this, I love you, man.
Excited for Cree Fest.
Yeah, we're playing Cree Fest on September 6th.
Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, Labor Day weekend.
Last.
And Cree's band played my wedding. On July 11th.
Yeah, that was my first opportunity to see them or hear them, and it was awesome. I loved it.
Oh, they're
great.
Fantastic. Yeah.
That Cree Fest is at Off-Broadway as well.
Yeah.
By the way, we play at 3:45 in case you're interested.
Yeah. Right after the School of Rock house band at 3 o'clock. I teach two of the drummers from the Kirkwood location. Oh, so nice. Excited to see my kids go out and play, man.
We're worried because the kids at the School of Rock are so good.
Yeah,
better than us.
They fucking hold their own. Yeah, it's scary. Like, some of these kids I'm teaching, I'm like, I'm going to be a
masters.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Padawan has become the Jedi Master.
I had Connor Lau on the show a while back, who goes to the School of Rock and participates in the touring band.
Oh, cool. Okay, yeah.
And then he 15-year-old guitar player just...
Oh, yeah, he sat in with, like, Marcus Miller when he came through at Jazz not too long ago. I think his teacher was telling me about that.
Yeah, he played with... all kinds of people. He was invited to do the solo for Money at the El Monstero show over Christmas.
Cool.
Christmas.
There you go.
Last year.
Kid's got chops.
He's got to play for Tommy Emmanuel and all kinds of
guys.
Yeah.
Oh man, some of these kids are.
Kids are too good.
Yeah, he's out of bowl win.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah.
He's been on the show, and then I invited him. I did a party a while back for the 1-year celebration. We did a little anniversary party over Steve's Hot Dogs, and I had Connor Lau and Ray Simmons, who's at School of Rock also.
Oh, okay.
She's a vocalist, and they came out and did like a little acoustic set, and it was really awesome to watch them. They're 14 and 15 years old, and they're like just killing it right now.
They shred.
Yeah.
I could use Steve's Hot Dog right about now.
Hey, we can still got time to hit it.
Well, Sean and I got to go.
Let's go to Steve's Hot Dog.
We'll
be right back.
Sean and I got to go grab some waffles right now.
So these guys are going to head off to their show. Should we pause the recording? All right. This is a song called Nashville. It's coming out on the new record. Available on September 25th at
26th.
Well, it's available on the 25th.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Because 25th is Friday, and
it's true.
Friday is International Record Release Day. I don't know if anybody knew that they changed it from Tuesday to Friday, but they did.
Yeah, I'm not sure why, but
yeah. Well, Tony and I actually looked up the reasons why, and they're pretty mundane. They weren't exciting at all.
And I never understood having just one day of the week to release records anyways.
Yeah.
I think it had to do because different countries had different release days, so what with the internet, it didn't really matter. So, release Tuesday here, Thursday in another country, those other countries could get it on Tuesday still.
Yeah.
So they just came out with a universal day.
But still, even before that, why was there just one day?
Why was there just one day? Who knows?
Tradition.
You know? Maybe that's when they figured out. It probably had to do with marketing. They probably were if it comes out on Monday, nobody will buy it. But if it comes out on Tuesday, that's when everyone goes to the record store. I don't know.
Let's just play music.
Anyway, this song is called Nashville. I wrote it in Minneapolis, and it's about St. Louis. Thank you.
since midnight took over. Morning's rolling through. 28 more hours. 28 more days. 28 forever. I'll be staying.
Guys,
thank you.
That was awesome. Thanks for doing that. I love love being able to capture live stuff like that. So it's like it's one of my favorite parts of doing this show is playing live and then also telling stories about the songs and the songwriting and all that. I'm a big fan of singer songwriters and so yeah. And we got a spilt beer.
Spilt beer.
Uh oh.
That happens all the time.
That'll happen.
There you go. As it turns out, I'm a big fan of singer-songwriters too.
Yeah. I feel like this record falls in with a lot of I feel like this genre of kind of folk, alt country, sort of kind of stuff like that. Like there's a lot of people really taking off right now, like in the in independent music. Like I mean, you know, you look at like Jason Isbell wrote. Like I mean, his album came out. He's like number one on the charts, and he's independent artist doing it all himself and stuff like that. Like it's it's great to see that there's people supporting that without radio support. You know, it's like so. American Aquarium and Turnpike Troubadours and all that. Like, there's a lot of those guys I really like a lot. And I feel like the sound of this record falls a lot with some of that kind of vibe. Who are you like listening to lately?
My favorite, my favorite singer-songwriters, it's vast, but, I think probably one of my favorite players, who's doing like alt country right now is going to be Hayes Carl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you've listened to much of his stuff, but.
Yeah, I like, drawing a blank on the name now. She's a wild as Rome. She likes.
I got a woman. She's wild as Rome.
Yeah, she likes to be naked and be gazed upon.
Yeah, man.
I think he wrote that with Ray Wiley Hubbard, right?
Okay.
Sounds like a Ray Wiley Hubbard song. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Ray does a version also. They both do the song, and I can't think of the damn name of it now. But yeah. But yeah, I like a little Hayes Carl too.
Yeah, Hayes Carl is probably. He's one of my favorite, just all around musicians, at this point. I kind of grew up on that like James Taylor and who else? Cat Stevens and James Taylor. That's pretty much where I kind of learned to play.
Do you ever listen to Howard Stern?
Sometimes. Yeah. It's been since he's been on like terrestrial radio that I've listened to him.
It was just maybe a month or two, maybe 2 months ago. But he had James Taylor in studio, and they played for like 2 hours, played 14 songs.
Wow.
On the show, and I was like, this is incredible.
This is.
It was kind of one of those things, like Howard, whenever he has guys like that, he brings up a lot of song titles. He'll throw titles at him, and he expects to play like a little, just a chorus or whatever kind of.
Yeah.
But James, did the entire song. and Howard's not going to stop him. He sat back he's a fan too, so he sat back and enjoyed it, but it was one of the best radio segments I've ever heard. Listening to James Taylor for 2 hours, it was awesome. So, and hearing stories too, along the way, it was really great. So,
Howard's one of my favorite interviewers.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's I've talked about him a lot on the show. I feel like I know I'm not trying to be any Howard Stern, but he's who I really idolize when it comes to being an interviewer. I would love to be able to do a little bit of what he does. He's somebody I really respect in a sense. I know when people think Howard Stern, they think of just naked girls and stuff like that. Yeah. But
that's how I was introduced.
Yeah, yeah. No, like when I think of Howard Stern, that's what I think of the segments they would show on. Entertainment television or something. So
But I feel like
they might ask us to tie each other to a bed and tickle each other's feathers or something.
But
which
I
is
feel,
cool.
We might do it.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a good time. We got a mattress in the corner.
Right? Yeah, there's a mattress. I mean, we're all set up for a good Howard Stern radio show.
We got Mardi Gras beads hanging there.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I've been listening since, 2003 or so. Because when I got out of high school, I started working construction, and I got to listen to him when he was still on terrestrial radio. And then I went to follow him to the satellite radio on Sirius, and I feel like he's really, matured as an interviewer too. So it's just, there was a lot of those crazy years that's what people, envision. But if anybody listens to what he's putting out now, it's some really great radio. And enough about Howard.
Bye.
Talk about you guys.
All right.
So this record coming out. This is the second release, technically, as Les Gruff and the Billy Goat.
Yeah.
And then,
the second release, our self-titled album, Les Gruff and the Billy Goat. I think this really encapsulates kind of what we sound like, to most people most of the time.
We definitely hope to try and capture how we play live, play these songs live for the most part. I mean, I, honestly, I think a lot of the songs have developed more since the recording as we've played them more and more. But that's what we were ultimately going for, was trying to capture essentially how these songs come across in a live setting.
Yeah.
We initially wanted to record it all live, but the capabilities just weren't there. So we recorded live with me on guitar and then Scotty on drums and Dave on bass. Did all those, laid those out live. So we captured as much of the liveness as we could and then tracked on top of that. And I think we captured the what it was we were all feeling at the time, because this band was new then, because this is a new lineup from the first album. There's Billy, Dylan, and I that were on the first album as well. I was only on one song, and
that was actually the first time I ever met Tony.
Right, that's when we met and went out to eat. Billy bought us dinner, and
yeah, musicians are cheap around here. You just buy them dinner and we'll do an album with you.
Yeah, man,
food's great.
But yeah, I mean, this band kind of formed out of the ashes of the ashes of hell.
it was a rough road.
Now that hell's finally smoldered.
Yeah.
It finally burned.
Yeah, we're cooking temperature now.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, it was dark times. I wrote the first album in the wake of my dad's suicide. Almost half the record from the first album was written at that time. So if you listen to what we did there, I mean, you can see that you can hear that on Spotify or wherever else that you consume music these days. I think it's on YouTube. I don't know who put it on YouTube, but somebody is
there. I think it's definitely there. Bandcamp and
It's on Bandcamp and all that stuff. There's a lot of really, really serious subject matter, and it's, some of it's very sad and whatever. It's tough to listen to if you've been through something like that, but it was what we had to do at the time. And I, like, the day that I lost my old man, I called Dylan on the phone, and he hung out with me on the phone until my other buddy, who was coming to pick me up to take me down there to the hospital, was gonna get there. And yeah, man, so he's been there from the beginning. And so when we did that record, I was expressing a lot of things that were very tough to express, and I ended up with some of the best friends of my life out of the whole experience. Tony came around to record that record with me, and we spent like maybe the next 2 years drunk together before things started getting more real for in life. And a lot of that sort of led to this group of guys that are around, and they're really awesome dudes, and I'm honored to be playing with these guys at this point.
Yeah, man, that's it's awful, but at least there's a silver lining there.
And you'll find, like, there's with the new record, like, there's definitely more lighter moments. Nothing, I mean, like, there might be some goofy stuff, but it's all in good fun. And but yeah, nothing just to.
I think it's, yeah, I think
no throwaway, just like
right.
I hope not.
Yeah.
Largely, it's
nothing
about,
there that just for filler. That's
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah. It's about approaching everything with sort of a situational honesty, you know. In like lyric writing, it's not like never again will I probably ever be so literal in my lyrics as I was in that first record. But this one, I think you take like bits of what has happened and you amplify it with, you know, what you think it would be helpful to get the point across. So this record really sort of brings a lighter tone, but a very similar approach to songwriting.
Yeah.
I'd have to say that I think Billy's really honed in his songwriting chops on the songs on this album very well, and like I don't know, I've noticed a progression in his songwriting in general that I really appreciate.
Yeah, I gave it a listen, guys, and on the way down actually twice today I was listening to it, and I really dig it a lot. It's very there's a lot of stuff that stood out to me, but yeah, like I think you guys also did the loft sessions that are, videos are coming out, and you did a couple of the songs on there from the album. So with the Evil Dancers and Punched Your Ticket,
yeah,
are those videos are out right
those
now.
Those videos are out, yeah. So you can get an immediate taste of kind of our live
right
sound or live feel. Some really good quality videos that they put together for us. So thanks again, guys.
Yeah, I met the Matt and I met Matt.
I've been Brad or Adam. Those are typically the guys down there.
I met them outside of Schlafly Tap Room one night after Brother Lee played over there and hung out for a bit. And so it was really kind of, I mean, I've been kind of following some of their work, and it was kind of fun to put, you know, face to the name kind of stuff. And but yeah, it's exciting that you know they're
doing awesome stuff, man. If you want to get sort of a good snapshot of St. Louis talent, what they are recording is. They've got some of the top guys on there, man. They've got videos coming out. Some of our good friends, the River Kittens, were on there. I'm not sure when their videos are coming out, but when they come out, those are guaranteed to be awesome.
Yeah.
Have you met the River Kittens yet?
Mm-mm. No, I haven't met them. I've been the names. There's several people on my radar that I. I've been following and things, just a matter of scheduling and things, trying to get people, tie people down to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I...
Those ladies have some of the... I mean, like, if you like folk music at all, like, it's a guarantee you're going to like it.
Sure.
They've got these harmonies that will fucking blow your mind.
Yeah. I know, I've been trying to get a... Beth Bambara, try to get her on the show, and there's a lot of people like around town that I've just been trying to reach out and get a hold of.
Yeah,
but yeah, we I mean, I have quite a few guests that cross over between myself and the loft session, so it's exciting to to have both, you know, to have the more of a casual, you know, hang out with them, and then to see what they're in their element doing their thing. So it's cool to kind of, I mean, we're very different shows, but it's fun to see two sides of the bands and stuff like that. So
that was just a real fun experience. I had a great time just recording those songs with them that day, like just getting to spend the day. Playing her music, and I don't know, they just did a great job of mixing the sound for us, and in there. It was probably the most clear I'd ever heard myself while performing.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it was just kind of fun. They were, I don't know, and great guys to be around, made it an enjoyable place to perform, and then were great to hang out with afterwards and for endless jam sessions.
Yeah. Yeah. We went later that evening, we went on the roof of a building that was nearby, and I'm telling you, like, the view of downtown St. Louis from Midtown, from a Midtown roof, is, it's just breathtaking.
Yeah.
Like, it was probably 10:30 at night, so it was just completely dark, nice clear spring day in St. Louis, and we're looking out over this, you know, it's a small city, let's be real about St. Louis, it's not a big city. But it just, I mean, like, it just was so cool to see all those lights and you know, you see the arch and just everything about it. I mean, that was just so much fun.
Yeah.
We're on this elevator that's like a freight elevator in a building that's 150 years old. And it, you know. Oh, man, that was so much fun.
Yeah.
Man.
Great experience.
Well, hopefully we have a whole lot of fun at the release show.
That's what we're going for.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we're hoping and anticipating.
September 26th, we, you know, we put a lot of heart and a lot of thought into this show, as in, you know, who we want to play with us, what we want to do, and it would be hard pressed with the crew that we've built up to not have a good time.
Yeah. You guys playing last, or you guys playing in the middle somewhere?
Yeah, we'll play last.
Yeah, we'll play at the end of the show.
Ego sometime.
I just talked to Emily, or not, sorry, not Miss Molly Sims. I keep wanting to say Emily Wallace, because they've been actually working a lot together. They're both they're both singing in Al Holiday's band now.
Yeah, that's a band there.
Yeah. Yeah, Al's great, man. Anyway, so I had Miss Molly Sims on the show last week, and talking about her record coming out, and she's also doing her release party at Off Broadway, but she's saying that she's
fourth.
Yeah, so she said she's going to play in the middle so she can sit back and enjoy the show afterwards.
Yeah.
So you know, so that's, I thought that was cool that, you know, you're a fan of your friends that are, you know, playing with you, so you want to watch their show too. So
I like to play last because then I'm not so hungover the next day.
Yeah.
Because I don't drink as much if I have to play later.
Right.
So if you play last, you don't drink as much the whole night, and then you're done, and then the night's over, and you're like, hey, I'm going to wake up feeling okay tomorrow.
We used to go to the Tin Can, when that was still around on Morgan Ford. Every Sunday, Emily Wallace used to play.
Yeah.
And that's where we met Emily. And so... Dylan and I would go down there. We were living on Eichelberger, and we would go down there and watch Emily play. And man, she has got some pipes.
Oh yeah,
yeah, dude.
Yeah, she's.
I could listen to her all night.
She's one of my favorites in town to watch for sure. She's she
and one of the most awesome human beings I've ever met. By the way, Emily, if you're listening, I know that it's been a while, but I sure do miss you.
Same here.
I saw her the other night. She opened up the Unify release party at Old Rock House, and she did this Purple Rain cover, solo acoustic, and it was really awesome. One of my like standout moments, speaking of her, is I went down to Oyster Bar one night and I saw her play there, and she did Tyrone by Erykah Badu.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, like, this is incredible. Like, it was such a cool moment to watch, you know, I've never heard anybody cover that song like that, and to see her doing it solo acoustic guitar, it was just a really cool night. And but yeah, I love watching her perform, and I've been every time I see her, I'm like, when are you coming on the show? Like, you know, I gotta keep trying. So hopefully that'll be soon. Cause she mm-hmm. and she said that you know when I saw her unifier, she said she wants to do it soon. So hopefully stay tuned. Hopefully yeah. she'll be on the show soon.
Excellent.
But yeah, anyway, guys, we'll wrap this thing up September 26th, right?
That's yes. right. September 26th is the show at Off Broadway to celebrate the release of the album.
Yeah.
The album will be available September 25th.
All right. $10 will get you in. Is that just for the door and then 10, is like 10 for the CD then? And
yeah, it's just for the door.
Yeah, we'll probably cut you a deal on CD.
Okay.
Day of the show.
Yeah. CD's negotiable. Door is $10.
Yeah. I know. But
we typically, I think like at the release show, you come in, you're gonna have a great time,
for sure,
and you're gonna see some awesome bands, and we'll be doing some kind of a deal on actually buying the record.
Nice. Yeah, I know some people. What's kind of a pretty good deal is like they'll lump it in with the door, like you know, $15, and you get a CD as soon as you walk in, or
yeah.
something like that kind of deal. Like, and those are always fun. Like, you know, at least you're I was gonna buy it anyway, but if you're gonna give it to me at the door, like that's cool. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's you know what we Cara Louise Band and
Ice Raoul.
Yeah,
Marie and the Americans.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been seeing Cara Louise Band name, mm-hmm. And the other two I'm not as familiar with, but I haven't heard all three of them play, so I'm excited to come out and awesome. Hear some new music. So
they're good. And we're going to be hard pressed to do better than that.
They're going to play them. Yeah, last. They're going to push you guys to step your game up. Right?
Where's Marie from?
Marie, I don't know exactly where, but it's in Germany.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why she's called Marie and the Americans. And
yeah.
She does this version of 99 Red Balloons, okay. where she actually sings the German verse in German, or, well, you know, and it's just amazing.
Yeah.
They're amazing. She, I used to have my solo band with her bass player and the drummer, Russ and Simon, and... You know, I was not worthy to play with those guys. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
So they're yeah, come see them.
Yeah.
See
sure.
them all.
At least come see the other bands. You know, if you can't even hang around till we play, you want to see these
just
other
hang
guys.
Out with us while we enjoy right great that's, music.
That's what the door covers for us for those guys.
Yeah.
So.
You guys, we'll throw a track on here at the end. What are you guys thinking? What are you feeling?
I think you know. You said you like Shiny Chevy,
yeah.
And I think Dave would appreciate that in his absence, if Shiny Chevy ended up on the end of this.
For you,
this
Dave,
a little piece of trivia about Shiny Chevy. That's one song from the first album called That Money.
Okay.
And but Dave always really liked the song when we played it, and like we never really thought about really playing it anymore. But he'd always say, "Let's play that Shiny Chevy song. Let's play Shiny Chevy."
The song was actually initially titled "That Money," and you can hear it, you know, online right now as "That Money."
Right,
and it's a completely different song.
It's very different. So we renamed it for Dave, and that's his favorite song. So yeah, go out with that one
All right.
for Dave because he couldn't be here.
We miss you, Dave.
He's in Thailand fighting something,
fighting yeah. alligators or
yeah,
something.
I don't know.
Fighting tiny
Hopefully
fireball. Shrunken
fireballs.
Base driven fireballs or something.
I think that's cool though. Like I like the you know, like evolution of song and bands and mm-hmm. and like, you know, I've been lucky enough to follow some of my friends' music, you know, from basement demos to, you know, studio albums and then like and how a song can totally change along the way, so it's fun to see that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's fun. A little fun fact for you, home.
Yep, check it out.
Cool guys, this has been a good time. I appreciate
thanks
you
so much.
Appreciate
thanks,
you taking some time out.
One second. Shane, I love you, Shane. That can't be the first time you've heard that.
Oh yeah.
Shane is a great movie, by the way.
my dad always is. Come back, Shane. So I get that one a lot. And,
man!
But yeah, it's funny. I think that you bring it up because I just thought of it again today. Because, but totally different reason. a little quick story here for you. So I bought Joe Mandy's stand-up comic. I bought his album when it came out. It's called Bitch Face, and it's very funny. And he sent me a personalized note with when I bought the CD, and it was just like a little, you know, 3x5 post-it kind of card. And he wrote on there, like, you know, hey, Shane, thanks for buying the CD. And he's got, like, something about LaCroix. Like, I don't know if it, like, what the whole joke is there, but he, like, he's got a whole thing about, like, LaCroix boys or something like that. And, like, he actually gave me, like, a coupon for, like, a 12-pack of LaCroix with the, you know, included in the CD thing and all that. But, yeah, he wrote on there, you know, he read that my name was Shane when I bought the CD, and he's like, sorry you're named after such a boring movie or something like this. Like, I've tried to watch that movie, like, 3 or 4 times, and I fall asleep every time. I was like, so, anyway, I thought that was funny that, you know, he wrote this whole little story and stuff. And so, that was pretty cool. So, I've actually never watched the movie, so I
don't even know what movie I'm talking about.
It's a good movie.
That movie night.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Shane. Thanks
for all right, guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
See you September 26th.
That's right. Yep. There.
Looking forward to it.
All right.
Drive your shiny Chevy. Circles. She can't understand why you wanna be that man. Your daddy just left for nothing. Put a dollar in your hand. Said I know you'll make a plan. And I hate to say what you already know. That money won't get you happy.